Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
To another action-packed edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane in the house. We welcome you to episode 362 of the Tony Lane Show. And reminding you, of course, as always, to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the show live. And then, of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. Best of all, if you do subscribe, you will get the latest episodes downloaded like magic to the device of your choice. Easy peasy, simple to do, and best of all, totally free of charge. If you want to give us a call, you can, 646-478-0360. Maris is on assignment this week. She will be back. But now, so we're flying solo this week, and there is a lot of stuff to get into. We are 1 week removed from the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Of course, overall, I thought it was a pretty decent pay-per-view, albeit very predictable. We knew pretty much the outcomes, in particularly of the two chamber matches, Roman Reigns winning the men's match and thus going on to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar, at least as of now, for the Universal Championship. And we also saw Alexa Bliss retain the Raw Women's Championship as she will go into WrestleMania as the incumbent Raw Women's Champion. Now, and we'll talk Alexa in a few minutes, but first, the Universal Championship title match hangs in the balance. Roman Reigns wins. So for the fourth year in a row, Roman Reigns will be in a WrestleMania main event. And, you know, as I have alluded to before, we're talking now Hulk Hogan territory. I mean, there hasn't been a single wrestler who has been the main event of this many WrestleManias in quite some time. And when I say main event, I'm talking the proper main event. I'm talking the last match on the card, not the, so-called other, quote, main events, you know. Because WWE, when it comes to WrestleMania time, they always like to say, oh, we've got several main events. There's not just one main event. Well, okay. There might be a Raw main event. There might be a SmackDown main event. There might be another, quote, unquote, main event. But you and I both know the proper main event is the last match of the show. And Roman Reigns has been in the proper main event, last match of the show, for the last 3 years. Of course, 3 years ago, he faced Brock Lesnar, then for the WWE Championship. That was the match that Seth Rollins came in and cashed in his money in the bank and walked out the champion. Hopefully something like that could happen again. But actually, there's no current money in the bank male holder. Only Carmella, who holds the Money in the Bank for the women. Then he won the WWE Championship by defeating Triple H 2 years ago. And last year, of course, he defeated The Undertaker in what appeared to be The Undertaker's last match last year. But we're not so sure now, as it appears that The Undertaker will be facing John Cena at WrestleMania. Which leads us now, year number four, Roman Reigns, all of a sudden, going in now to face the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, for the title. Now, of course, there was a lot of controversy that happened in the past week. The night of the pay-per-view, which was held in Las Vegas, a picture of Brock Lesnar and UFC head Dana White sprouted up online all of a sudden. And once that picture started online, it really started sparking rumors that perhaps Brock Lesnar is headed back to UFC after his WWE contract expires in April. Now, this gets a lot more muddier, because apparently Dana White is none too happy that one of his biggest draws, Ronda Rousey, has now signed on with WWE. So I think he'd be very happy to get Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar, it's no secret, Brock Lesnar's contract does expire sometime in April. But Brock Lesnar has a particular minimum amount of appearances that he is scheduled to make within the period of the contract. Apparently, Brock Lesnar has already met those obligations. So technically, he does no longer has to really appear, even though he is technically under contract with WWE, which is why this past Monday on Raw, he didn't show up. Now, there's a speculation that perhaps that could be a work, that maybe they deliberately false advertised him and had him not show up so that the fans who normally boo Roman Reigns can have a change of heart and say, oh, we're going to cheer this guy because Brock Lesnar doesn't give an F about us. Who knows what actually happened? All we know is Brock Lesnar was not there on Monday Night Raw. Roman Reigns did a quasi shoot promo, which was had, you know, kind of scripted, kind of shoot. And made Roman Reigns look very good for a second and made the people kind of support Roman Reigns for a little bit. But will this carry over into WrestleMania? Are the people really that gullible? I don't think they're that gullible. I don't think their hate for Roman, or even if they have hate for Lesnar, I don't think it would exceed their ungodly hate for Roman Reigns. I mean, and for a lot of people, Roman Reigns winning that Elimination Chamber just ruined the whole pay-per-view. I mean, there were people who probably were like, you know, what's the point in having a pay-per-view if you're going to have Roman Reigns winning at the end? A lot of people wanted Braun Strowman to win, or maybe even Seth Rollins. I mean, we discussed how Seth Rollins had an amazing appearance on Raw when they did the gauntlet match. His performance was top-notch. He went over an hour. Really looked like a guy that could be pushed. But apparently, this is to lay the foundation for a future push after WrestleMania. Because, of course, once Roman Reigns wins the Universal Championship, he's going to need somebody to fight. He's going to have to defend the belt against somebody. So if Roman Reigns, or rather, Seth Rollins is obviously being set up for that role where he would be the individual who would most likely be the first big challenge for Roman Reigns. In my opinion, The Miz might be another good challenger. The Miz and Reigns had a very good program over the Intercontinental title. Why not let him feud over the Universal Championship? Certainly makes a lot of sense from that standpoint. So, WrestleMania is coming along. As we said, Alexa Bliss wins the Raw Women's Championship Elimination Chamber match, first ever Women's Championship match, which I actually found to be very entertaining. Now, I mean, I guess you notice if you look at the structure that the part in between the ring and the cage area, it looked like it had some extra padding there. I don't know if it had that padding last year. This is obviously the newer Elimination Chamber structure and not the original chamber that they originally had back in 2002 when they first rolled it out, but this is the one that they used for the first time last year, I believe. And it looks to be a little more safe than the other one, which was a lot tougher on individuals' bodies. So I think that this did work out better. You know, there were no major injuries, at least that were reported after the match. And in my opinion, I think that the women did a very good job. Alexa performing Twisted Bliss from the top of one of the pods, that was really, really good. And I thought overall it was a very entertaining match. And certainly, you know, it laid down the foundation for a lot of things that could come. I mean, they certainly laid down a potential feud between Sasha Banks and Bayley. And if those two are allowed to really have the sort of matches that we know they're capable of having, I mean, these are women who wrestled in the match of the year a couple of years ago, which, you know, I've been watching wrestling for many, many years, over three decades, and never in the three decades that I've been watching wrestling has a match of the year been a women's match, except for that match from NXT TakeOver Brooklyn between Sasha Banks and Bayley from back in 2015, I want to say. And that was amazing. And we would love to have those two be able to deliver that kind of match with that kind of emotion on the big stage now. They did it in NXT. And if they give them the leeway and let them do what they can do, we know they can do great things. Now, as far as Alexa Bliss is concerned, all signs are pointing to her defending against Nia Jax, even though it appears that they are attempting to set up her and Asuka. But rumor has it that Asuka will actually be facing the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, which to me, that's a really fantastic match on paper. I mean, the way they built up Asuka, and most people do regard Charlotte Flair as one of the best pure athletes in the business. And I would certainly have to say that that would have to be one of the quote-unquote main events of WrestleMania. If you put Asuka and Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship, which right now it looks like that's the match, to me, that deserves to be one of the top matches on the show. You know, I mean, may not be the match that goes on last, but it should certainly be either next to last or next to next to last. Like, that's a very big match, and certainly something. Now, as far as the Raw Women's Championship, you know, you would have the whole David and Goliath thing if they do go with Nia Jax versus Little Miss Bliss there. But I, you know, hopefully if they do it, they do keep it a one-on-one match and don't make it a triple threat or fatal four-way, because, you know, they could do what they always do with the women and try and throw everybody on the card, and then you end up with a big fatal four-way or five-way or whatever. And we don't need that. We'd like to see a one-on-one match for both women championships. So WrestleMania is coming up. It's a little over a month away. So far, the card is starting to formulate. As we said, you've got the Universal Championship match. Now, there is still a big question mark there, because there's been a story going on about Roman Reigns where there's some allegations being made by a certain documentary maker. And if these allegations are proven to be true, it is possible that this could affect his appearance at WrestleMania. We don't know. Everything's still speculation at this time. But that main event is certainly in jeopardy. And as we said, Brock Lesnar has already met his contractual obligations for his current contract, and technically does not have to appear, even though he is still under contract. So this is a match that is definitely in danger of not happening. WWE does have a backup plan. Backup plan, Braun Strowman. So if for some odd reason either Lesnar or Reigns is not able to be in this match, somehow Braun Strowman is going to be inserted into this match. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's the backup. You know, we've discussed the two women's championship matches. Of course, the WWE championship will be on the line, as we will see the Royal Rumble winner, at least on the men's side, Shinsuke Nakamura, challenge whomever the WWE champion is after next week's WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. Now, the Fastlane main event has just turned into another big multi-person big mess, which started off, I believe, as a straight-up triple threat between AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, and now has morphed into a six-pack challenge with Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, and then, as of last week, John Cena, all being added to this match. So, right now, it's a six-pack challenge for the WWE Championship. So, any of those six individuals will be the incumbent champion going on to face Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Right now, in my opinion, I say the AJ Styles match would probably be the best match. That's the match most people want to see. That's the match that we saw in New Japan. And I know all of the hardcore fans really want to see that match. But what if they throw a monkey wrench and try and make it somebody else? I mean, there are other potentially good matches that could come out of this. But I think most people want to see AJ Styles retain the championship. And John Cena, I mean, we might see them lay the foundation for the John Cena-Undertaker match. Like, it's possible you might have an appearance from the Dead Man at the Fastlane pay-per-view. Maybe he costs John Cena the match. Maybe you hear the gong of the Undertaker's music go off, and the lights go out, and then the next thing you know, John Cena is distracted, and all of a sudden AJ Styles hits him with a phenomenal forearm and wins the match. Who knows? But this is coming up, and we shall see next week exactly what's happening. A couple of other matches on there. Nothing really too exciting as U.S. title match, which actually it looks like a pretty decent match on paper, actually, for between Bobby Roode and Randy Orton. And I don't think we've ever seen this match ever, let alone on a pay-per-view. They may have worked with each other before, but I doubt it. But certainly two very good in-ring performers going at it for the United States Championship. It's pretty good. Maybe it'll give a little rub to the U.S. title. SmackDown Tag Team Championship, one of the best programs they had, certainly as far as their tag team division, was the Usos and the New Day. They will meet again for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, but it's like they just keep on with the same program over and over because they really don't have very many other teams. It's certainly not other teams that they've really built up. So that's really it. Like, the Usos and New Day, I know they're going to put on a good match because they always have, but, I mean, maybe we want a little more. Maybe we want something different. Maybe this is why they are no longer going to do brand exclusive pay-per-views, because, of course, Fastlane is the final SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view scheduled, at least for the foreseeable future, as they're going to go to the dual-branded shows from WrestleMania on. Also, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line as Charlotte Flair is scheduled to take on Ruby Riott. We know Charlotte Flair has to win this match. So this is just a placeholder. Because somehow, after Charlotte Flair retains her title over Ruby Riott, this is where Asuka is going to challenge her for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and this is going to set up this big match. So they're just kind of stalling and letting Ruby Riott challenge Charlotte Flair. I mean, they should put on a pretty good match. You'll probably have Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan interfere, and you'll probably see Naomi and Becky Lynch try to combat their interference, with ultimately Charlotte Flair getting the victory and retaining the title so that she can go on to WrestleMania to face Asuka. So that should be a decent match. I don't know if it's going to really tear the house down, but both women are very capable. I mean, Ruby Riott is a very capable performer, and I think it should go pretty good. But now, we also, that's it for Fastlane so far. There's only four matches right now scheduled for Fastlane. So I think there's probably going to be a couple more. I mean, how are you going to fill up a pay-per-view with only four matches? Even though the six-pack challenge is probably going to take up some time. I don't know if it's going to be straight-up elimination. Like, is it going to be all the five guys have to be eliminated and the last man standing wins? Or is it going to be the first one to get a pin wins? I guess you can make it last longer if you do it where everybody has to be eliminated. You could probably, you know, if it's six guys, you could probably make it last 40, 45 minutes easily. And then give, you know, the Usos and New Day can go for a long time. Rude and Orton could probably go a long time. And so can Flair and Ruby Riott. They can go for a long time. So you can actually have, that could fill up at least 2 hours and change. And then maybe you throw in another couple of matches just to fill it out, you know, some undercard guys, give them a pay-per-view appearance, which will probably be their last one, because once they go to these dual-brand shows, they can forget about being on pay-per-views, these lower-level guys. But to be honest, they haven't really done much with them, even as it is. I mean, you barely see. Think of a guy like Ty Dillinger's level, or even the Fashion Police's level, or any of those guys. You almost never see them on television. So it's one of those things that, you know, you would like to think that they have an opportunity to be on pay-per-view because of a brand split, but you and I both know that really hasn't been the case, that really those lower level guys have maybe gotten on the pre-show once or twice, but it hasn't really elevated them the way that a lot of people originally thought. So I think that is something that should be at least addressed to some degree. But I do expect them to fill out this card with at least couple of more matches. You'll probably have Rusev thrown in there. They may throw in another women's match. I mean, it would be interesting if they actually made a match with Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan against Becky Lynch and Naomi. That is possible. Maybe let that be a tag team match on the pre-show, and then let Flair and Riott face each other on the main show. You know, there's a lot of ways that they can go with it, and we'll see exactly what they do next weekend. All roads lead to WrestleMania. They all lead to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. Nolens. As we prepare for WrestleMania 34, this should be interesting because we're going to see some real crazy stuff coming up. They're laying down the foundation for Ronda Rousey and this potential mixed tag team match. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. I would bet on that. I would bet on that more so than it being Ronda Rousey and The Rock. I'm sure WWE would love for it to be The Rock. I think it's going to be Kurt Angle. But we shall see. The card is going to start formulating, I believe, pretty much, especially after we get through next week's pay-per-view. Once Fastlane is over, this card is going to really start formulating. It's going to be like a little piece of clay, and you're going to start seeing it formulate, and it's going to start looking like the card that we are anticipating for WrestleMania. We just got a little more time, pretty much a week, and you're going to start seeing things starting to fall into place, and it's going to start making sense. But we got one more week to go, checking out what's happening at Fastlane, another week of TVs to go, but there's going to be some interesting stuff happening on Raw and SmackDown as well. So, a lot of stuff with WWE, as always, but we do want to touch Ring of Honor. As we said, the Women of Honor are crowning their first ever Women of Honor champion, and my diva crush, or I should say my woman wrestler crush, Tennille Dashwood, the artist formerly known as Emma, of course, is one of the 16 wrestlers who was in the, or is in the Women of Honor Championship tournament, and lucky me, I got to meet Tennille Dashwood last weekend. So it was pretty cool. Got a picture with her and everything. I was all happy and shit. Like, it was awesome. So she still has my vote for being the person who I would like to see as the first ever Women of Honor champion. She is in the second round. I'm not sure if they played the match on television yet, because I haven't had a chance to watch this week's Ring of Honor TV. But once I do, I will. But, I mean, I know we normally do not do spoilers on the show, and we do our damnedest to try not to do spoilers, but I will say, as of now, that Tennille is in the, she is in the second round. So, there's a spoiler. So, Tennille wins her match. So, all of the first round match, I think only one, the last time I checked, one first round match has yet to take place, and we'll be getting that first round match very, very soon. So, this is going to be a really, really cool tournament. I'm glad that Ring of Honor has finally pulled the trigger, and we're getting a full-on women's division. You know, they've been doing the thing. They've been testing out the waters on YouTube. And, you know, if you went to any of the shows, you had been seeing for quite some time the women's matches, primarily as dark matches. Or, you know, if you went onto their website or their YouTube page, you saw the matches posted there. But this is the first time that they are actually having an official women's championship. So that's pretty cool. And we're certainly looking forward to that. And good luck to Tennille. Hopefully she wins the women's championship. We shall see what happens. I don't know. Maybe she'll win. We'll find out. Maybe it's Mandy Leon. Maybe she's going to win. I mean, she is the homegrown talent. Very beautiful woman, too, mind you. Anyway, it's so hot. So, we'll find out who's going to win, and we'll keep you posted right here on the Tony Lane Show. Of course, remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. Subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. So, I am Tony Lane, and we'll see you next time. Have a wonderful week.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in? That this is considered entertainment.
TonyLaneShow.com.